This is the CPC Podcast, episode 64 for Sunday, October 13th, 2019. We do this together. This podcast was recorded live at Central Presbyterian Church in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. I'm your host, Zach Cosner. This week in church news, the annual Harvest Luncheon will be held on Sunday, October 20th, after worship. Join us as we thoughtfully consider our commitments to the church. This event will take the place of our third Sunday Fellowship Luncheon. The church will give a birthday brunch for Trinity Village residents on October 22nd at 10 a.m. We need people to help with food and, if possible, be present. There's a sign-up sheet in McElyea Hall if you are interested. We'll be holding our annual Trunk or Treat event on Saturday, October 26th at 5 p.m. We will be having bounce house and hot dogs. We're encouraging our members to decorate their vehicles and bring candy. If you can't attend, donation of cash and candy are welcome. During the event, donations of canned goods for neighbor to neighbor will also be accepted. We'll be holding a church-wide cleanup day on November 2nd. Work will be done inside and outside the church. We invite everyone to attend. This week, filling in for Reverend Tim Reeves is Reverend Cameron Highsmith. Cameron has served as the chaplain for UAMS Medical Center in Little Rock and also a parish associate at First Pres Argenta in North Little Rock, Arkansas. We welcome him to the pulpit this week.
Well, good morning. It is good to be back with y'all here at Central Presbyterian in Pine Bluff. I love coming down here to visit and worship with y'all. So thank you for having me back. Just in case my voice gets a little scratchy or anything, I know it's fall because my allergies have kicked back in, and I've already been hit with some sinus stuff. So if I falter with my words, forgive me. Our scripture reading is Ruth 1, 1 through 17. It is in your bulletin, and I will be reading from the Common English Version. During the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. A man with his wife and two sons went from Bethlehem of Judah to dwell in the territory of Moab. The name of that man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They entered the territory of Moab and settled there. But Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. Then only she was left along with her two sons. They took wives for themselves, Moabite women. The name of the first was Orpah, and the name of the second was Ruth. And they lived there for about 10 years. But both of the sons, Mahlon and Chilion, also died. Only the woman was left, without her two children and without her husband. Then she arose along with her daughters-in-law to return from the field of Moab, because while in the territory of Moab, she had heard that the Lord had paid attention to his people by providing food for them. She left the place where she had been, and her two daughters-in-law went with her. They went along the road to return to the land of Judah. Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, "Go, turn back each of you to the household of your mother. May the Lord deal faithfully with you, just as you have done with the dead and with me. May the Lord provide you so that you may find security, each woman in the household of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. But they replied to her, "No, instead we will return with you to your people." Naomi replied, "Turn back, my daughters. Why would you go with me? Will there again be sons in my womb that they would be husbands for you? Turn back, my daughters. Go, I am too old for a husband. If I were to say that I have hope, even if I had a husband tonight, and even more if I were to bear sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you refrain from having a husband? No, my daughters, this is more bitter for me than for you, since the Lord's will has come out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth stayed with her. Naomi said, "Look, your sister-in-law is returning to her people and her gods. Turn back after your sister-in-law." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to abandon you, to turn back from following after you. Wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God." Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do this to me, and more so if even death separates me from you." This is the word of God. Please join me in prayer. Holy God, enter our hearts, open our minds, live in us, through us, continue to be with us, so that we may hear your word and take it out into this world. Amen. All right. Who can guess how many books in the Bible are named after women? Two. Out of 66 books, there are two named after women. If we took the Catholic Apocrypha into account, there would be three books out of 73. So it seems like the only two books named after women should hold special significance. Most of the time, though, they are overlooked or ignored. So when I looked at the narrative lectionary and saw the opportunity to preach on the book of Ruth, I jumped at the chance. Ruth is an exciting, although short, story of women who defy the odds and find success. It's a story of challenge and struggle. It's the story of two women, Ruth and Naomi, who find their way in a world that, frankly, was not very kind to women. And while we won't cover the entire book of Ruth right now, I would highly encourage you all to read it when the opportunity arises. It's only four chapters, so it's a really short read. And the book of Ruth starts with a series of tragedies. First, there's a famine in Judah. And during this famine, the patriarch of the family, Elimelech, takes his family to Moab. Then he dies. Before his death, he and his wife Naomi had two sons. And these sons did take wives, Orpah and Ruth. No children from these marriages were mentioned. And then Naomi's two sons die. The three women, Naomi, Orpah, and Ruth, are left alone. They're left alone in a society that sees women as worthless unless they are tied to a man. If a woman doesn't have a man for whom she can provide children, then she has no role in society. These worthless women head down the road back to Judah. And on the way, Naomi turns to her daughters-in-law and confronts them with the cold, hard truth. "Go, turn back each of you to the household of your mother. May the Lord deal faithfully with you just as you have done with the dead and me. May the Lord provide for you so that you might find the security, each woman in the household of her husband." After she said this, the three women cried together. Then Orpah and Naomi refused to leave her, insisting they would return with her to Judah. She says to them, "Turn back, my daughters. Why would you go with me? Will there again be sons in my womb that they would be husbands for you? Turn back, my daughters. Go. I am too old for a husband. If I were to say that I have hope, even if I had a husband tonight, and even more if I were to bear sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you refrain from having a husband? No, my daughters, this is more bitter for me than for you, since the Lord's will has come out against me." In this statement, Naomi is offering the idea of hopelessness to Orpah and Ruth. In Hebrew tradition, women who lose their husbands remained tied to the family of their husbands. They have to marry within that same family. Naomi knows this and knows if the women stay with her, they have to marry a man within her husband's family. She tells them she can't get married again, much less have children. Therefore, if Orpah and Ruth stay with her, they will struggle for the rest of their lives. Orpah ends up accepting Naomi's plea to leave. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. This was a goodbye kiss. It was a farewell to someone she loved. The kiss was an acknowledgement of the struggles they had been through together and a thank you to someone who had cared. Ruth, however, stays with Naomi. She says to her mother-in-law, "Don't urge me to abandon you, to turn back from following after you. Wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God." Ruth is determined to make this work. She has faith that no matter what happens, she and Naomi will survive. She essentially turns to Naomi and says, "No, I will not leave you. We do this together." In this moment, Ruth is using the divine spark. She has the courage to believe that everything is going to be okay. She gathers up her faith and believes her community, consisting now of only Naomi, will guide her through these hardships. She latches herself to the one she loves and needs and says she will not leave. While a noble effort in the face of the world they lived in, many people would see this as foolish. The odds are stacked against two women trying to survive in that world. Logically, there is no way this move would work. Practically, Ruth is setting herself up for failure. In every way that makes sense in the world, Naomi's plea to Orpah and Ruth is the right move. The women need to move on to find their own families so they will have worth. Naomi knows she has family in Judah, family that will take care of her. In Judah, Orpah and Ruth don't have anything or anyone waiting for them. They would be lost in a cruel and hostile world. Ruth, however, looks at the odds, considers her love for Naomi, and decides to go against everything that is practical and logical. Community is the essence of the Bible. Wherever we go in our texts, we find a community working together. Ruth and Naomi end up needing each other to survive in the world. The early accounts of Genesis are founded on families and communities banding together in order to survive. The Israelites needed each other to make it through the wilderness and Exodus. The prophets, in their calls for Israel to fix its ways, reached out to community so the divine voice could be heard far and wide. In the New Testament, Jesus calls the disciples, and those disciples set up community in order to care for one another after Jesus' life on earth. And Paul sought community in his travels throughout the world. Community is one of the most important and pervasive threads throughout the Bible. And it's in community where people hear the divine voice speaking out clearly. In our lives, we continue to need community. While I was in clinical pastoral education at UAMS, my community there was instrumental in my personal growth. Throughout the program, my community helped me see where I needed to focus. They helped me see mistakes I was making. The community of chaplain residents and supervisors helped me see what elements of my past were holding me back. They helped me work through these things and see where I need to focus moving forward. I've been out of the CPE program for about a month and a half, and their voices continue to move in and throughout my heart and my head. There are still people to whom I can reach out and gain valuable insight. In turn, I am able to provide insight and care to them as well. Together, we form a powerful and loving cohort who are able to help each other see how the divine voice is working throughout our individual lives. Without this community, it would be much harder for me to hear God working in my life. And for all of us, community continues to be incredibly important. Here we are today, gathered in community to listen for the Word of God. Individual prayer and faith life is important, yes, but there is a reason we gather throughout the week in a communal setting. Communion and community have the same base word. We do these things together because that is how God reaches out to us in so many ways. Sometimes we hear the divine voice when we get feedback from one another. Sometimes we hear God's voice when we sing together. Sometimes our communal prayers reach out and touch our hearts. Sometimes when we're sitting next to our friends and families, a preacher's words will sit with us longer. The point is this: in community, we are able to feel God in our hearts and hear the divine voice more clearly. It's even more clear in community when we face our difficult times. It's in these times when our communities come together and support one another. It's in these moments that community forms rank and locks arms to hold one another tighter and closer. In our hardest times, our communities come together to show support for one another. This is the example we see between Ruth and Naomi. Both Ruth and Naomi realize how hard things will be going forward. There was no mincing of words in the text we read today. Naomi tells Ruth, Naomi tells Ruth things will be difficult if they stay together. Ruth acknowledges Naomi's words with her tears and wailing. And in the face of that adversity, Ruth says, "No matter what, we do this together." In the face of huge obstacles and massive walls, Ruth believes in Naomi and herself. She believes they will make it through whatever they may face. "Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God until we die." Now, I do hate spoilers. I really do. All the same, I'm going to spoil the book of Ruth for y'all. Ruth and Naomi make it. They rely on each other throughout the story and find more community and family in Judah. Ruth marries Boaz, and they expand their family. At the end of the book, we find out that Ruth is the great-great-grandmother of David. We find out that without Ruth and Naomi, there would be no King David. More importantly, if Ruth had abandoned Naomi as the world dictated, there would be no King David. And if there had been no King David, the lineage of Jesus himself would have been disrupted. The great act of faith by Ruth changed the entire world. The declaration of dedication and love took Ruth and Naomi down a path that provided the most important king of Israel. If Ruth had betrayed herself and Naomi by listening to the world, everything would have ended up differently. And this is why community is so important. When we do this together, we find strength to make extraordinary decisions. We find opportunities to do the things differently. In community, we listen to and hear from the divine voice that flows through all of us. When we have the opportunity to be in community, we make each other stronger and more faithful. Community is both the answer and the challenge from God. We are brought together to make each other stronger and more faithful. In community, we find challenges to our individualism. In community, we find solutions to our worldly problems. In community, we find people who earnestly love us. In community, we find comfort, strength, and support. In community, we find our true selves. In community, we find God reaching out to us. In our hearts and in our minds, we find greatness in community. And we give thanks to God that we do this together. Amen.
Thanks again to Reverend Cameron Highsmith for filling in this week. If you like what you heard today, please consider subscribing. We're on Apple Podcasts, we're in the Google Podcast app, and we're also on the Stitcher app. Also, if you would, please consider giving us a 5-star review. It helps people find us. You can find us also on Facebook, you can follow us on Twitter, and on Instagram. Our username is CentralPrezPB. which is conveniently also the address of our website. You can find us at www.centralprespv.com. At the website, you'll find worship schedules, our Central Scene newsletter, and other news and notes from around the church. Our theme music is brought to you by Excel Music Publishing, who can be found at www.freemusicpublicdomain.com. That'll do it for this week's episode. I'm your host, Zach Cosner, and I hope you have a great week. See you next time.